Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help you on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, we're talking about the reality of a new heart when we're born a second time. And of course, that's referring to John chapter 3, which we don't want to boil down into just John 3:16. Obviously, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But there's a whole conversation going on there. And if you have the opportunity today sometime, look at the interaction between Nicodemus and also the timing of when Jesus presented the whole idea of being born again. But in that concept, being born again, there is an explanation of what it means to have a new kingdom heart. And I want to investigate that a little bit today. Jesus, through the prophets, began to talk about this idea of a new heart very early on. This is in Ezekiel 36. Moreover, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. So God is explaining the idea and the concept that there's going to be a new heart, something that kind of supersedes the law, even though the law had its purpose. The new heart was going to be a gift that God was going to give, and he began to prophesy in the book of Ezekiel. Well, he also talked about it in Jeremiah 31, and I want to lay the foundation here before we get too far into the concept of a new heart. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Now, obviously, that's talking about the law. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord, but this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Now there's a huge conversation that continues to go on about the true Israel of God. Obviously, God has plans for Israel. Just look at what's happening in the world right now and what has happened historically. But also there's the idea that they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Paul explains really clearly that someone who is a true Jew is somebody who has had their heart circumcised. And that's the new heart, I think, that's being talked about here in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Jesus says through Paul, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new, or the new things have come. Well, when I think about my new heart, and this took me a while to learn about because, you know, I became a believer a number of decades ago, and you know, you don't know anything, and you're just kind of floundering. Fortunately, I got associated with a group of people that cared about the scriptures, and that got me into the word. But it was a process of me learning about my old nature and my new nature, like we just talked about here in 2 Corinthians 5. And in Romans chapter 7, there's a conversation about, you know, the good that I want to do, I cannot do. I see then the principle of evil within me, the one who wishes to do good. So on my conscience, on the conscience side, I'm serving a different law, but I see something else waging war in my members. So God describes this conflict that we have where we're looking at our old heart and our new heart. And that's basically where we find ourselves. We have both natures. We have an old heart and we have a new heart that are coexisting. But what has happened is God has given us a new heart, and he is, he's just done his work inside of us to allow us to live by that new heart. So how does that work in the life of a believer? A new heart is a kingdom heart. When we enter through the door of the kingdom, and obviously Jesus is the king, so that's how we enter into the door of the kingdom, we also must enter through the door of humility. And that is a work of God. So I consider and I believe. You know, we don't believe on our own. That's a work of God inside of us. I've always wondered about the answer to the question, what's the difference between me and my neighbor? Why have I chosen to believe and somebody else hasn't? Well, you can make that very human-centric, or you can make it Christ-centric. God's work inside of me allows me to consider, and then when I believe, he opens the door of humility, and I walk in and receive that new heart. Well, when that new heart comes, it's his work. So my work is to consider, his work is to give me a new heart. And you can read about that in John chapter 1. There are all kinds of interplays and interactions where that is being explained as things unfold. Well, then I also have to face the reality of my old nature, which that's called my flesh, obviously. And so you got spirit and you got the flesh that are, you know, just waging war inside of us. Obviously, the evil one is there too to make his contribution to the process. But the reality is that I was lost and without hope. So I faced the reality of my old nature. My old nature is not going to bring about the things that need to happen. Like all sheep, had gone astray and had turned to our own way, and he laid upon himself the iniquity of us all. Well, God has taken my old nature and he's placed it on the cross with that that list of infractions, those list of sins, and he's nailed them to the cross and he's taken them out of the way. So I face the reality of my old nature after I receive my gift of a new heart. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about this new heart in a second, but this is a process that begins to happen, and it really is a supernatural thing. When we do receive the Spirit of God, but in receiving the Spirit of God, we are given this new heart. So now I have the freedom to live the mind of Christ. And that's what Paul's talking about when he said, we have the mind of Christ, when he's talking about that in 1 Corinthians. So I need to acknowledge my freedom to live the mind of Christ and the idea that I can live with a clear conscience. Now, I love the law, believe me, and I love the Ten Commandments. They didn't lead me to God as far as when I was a young boy learning about the Ten Commandments, maybe because of the context that they were explained to me. But the reality is that the Ten Commandments are an expression of who God is. But without my kingdom heart, I can't keep the commandments. Now, a lot of religious people think that they can do that. The Jews were, you know, infamous for doing this before Jesus and saying that they had it all together. But Jesus was always pointing out the issue of the heart to the scribes and the Pharisees. And now I have the freedom to embrace my new kingdom heart and live the mind of Christ with a clearing conscience. Well, what does that mean? The law still stands, every bit of it. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill it. So in looking at the law, I can see the character of God, but I cannot do the law. Only the Spirit of God inside of me can satisfy the requirements of the law. So I embrace my new kingdom heart. I recognize that my conscience now is alive to God. Just like what happened in the first Adam and his conscience was seared, now my conscience has been made alive to God through the second Adam. I'm alive to God, and as I move from milk to solid spiritual food, well, I begin to see some really interesting things come as a result of this new heart. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but as you look in all of the letters, and these are whether it's Paul or John or Peter, whoever wrote the particular letter, there's often a mention of the idea of faith and hope and love. You know this obviously from 1 Corinthians 13, an excellent, beautiful passage, but in many of the letters, faith and hope and love are mentioned. And I just want to look at one of those today because that's a great thing in and of itself to check out. This is out of Peter's first letter. He says, in chapter 1, verse 7, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God's intention in this new heart is that our faith is supposed to begin to root and to grow as we move from milk to solid food. And as my growing life of faith begins to unfold, my new heart is fed by faith. Well, that's not all. In 1:13, down just a little bit further in 1 Peter, Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So not only is my faith a big heart of my big part of my new heart activating, but also my hope, and it anchors me in the truth, and it anchors me in what it means to have my new heart. And you know how that feels as your hope unfolds and you are looking forward and you're looking to bigger things rather than just the earthly things that are around you. Well, this idea finishes off in verse 22 of 1 Peter 1. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. So the new heart is a tremendous gift that has been given to the children, the sons and daughters of Jesus. And we have an opportunity, if we choose, to follow our new heart. And that's what I want to close out talking about today, because what does it mean once you understand that you have a new heart and that your old nature and your new nature are at war with one another inside of you? But as you begin to grow in faith and hope and love, what does that look like as you follow and choose to follow your kingdom heart? Well, first of all, we need to care about what my king wants. Jesus is my king. And if I believe he's my sovereign Lord over my life, the question is obvious. Do I care about what my king wants? Well, once I have decided that the answer to that question, do I care? And that answer is yes. And you have to ask that question for yourself. Is he your sovereign and do you care? The next thing is my willingness to hear what my king says to me. And that's why I go from milk to solid food. That's why I search the scriptures, because I want to understand what it means to grow up into the fullness of Christ. So am I willing to hear? It's great to care, but if you are not willing to hear, how in the world are we going to grow? Well, right along with that, there's the whole concept of spiritual hunger. And there's only so much bandwidth I think the human heart or the human soul has. And if I satiate it with all of the things that this world has to offer, how in the world am I going to be able to be hungry to know my king? And that's kind of the next step as I follow my kingdom heart. I need to care about what my king wants, my willingness to hear what my king says to me, and my hunger then to know my king. Well, in the context of what it means to have a new heart, then I embrace my life of prayer and reflection and taking time to listen and to be alone with God. That's what a kingdom heart is fueled by. And that then results in my intention to live my life of hope. And right along with that, my life of expanding love, which we just talked about in Peter. Well, all of this process results in a life of peace and ultimately a satisfied mind. It's completely tied to my future and my hope in his kingdom in me. I'm just reminded about when Peter said, along with the other disciples, "Where else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, dear Lord God." Well, there you go. New heart, something to think about today. Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forestream.com and click on the radio button. Together, we're finding hope at forestream.com.